whatever the heck the last episode right. was. I mean, season. Oh, it was the supposedly miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They ended up to be a major series because we were talking about that, actually, that I want to do famous death singers one miniseries and actors and actresses another miniseries, and they're going to 100% be discussion.
Yeah, I know Jennifer will love that.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jennifer.
Hello. Nope.
All right, so what is this drink here?
Elena. So, still going with the Texas theme. Mm-hmm. This is Texas Unsweet Iced Tea.
Unsweet Iced Tea.
Yes.
What's wrong? Why are you looking at me?
Do you have any Splenda?
I got y'all some. My gosh.
I have Splenda. Are we going to try it? Sure.
I guess I'll have a snibble, and then I want Splenda.
You want Splendle?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, pretty good.
That's good, even without it.
Thank you so much for... Yeah, you want the cancer-inducing?
No. I couldn't remember which one you did. Well, that's two. You right. do two? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to do two? No.
No, I'm just going to do one. Just a little touch.
That's good.
To me, Texas iced tea is one of the best. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I don't like unsweet, but I can drink Texas mm-hmm. unsweet.
I can, too. That didn't taste good. This is good. What's in it?
Here you go. What's in it?
Tea.
Would be tea.
That's it?
Yes.
No alcohol?
No. Mm-mm.
All right, now let's try it.
Oh, man, I thought this is a good alcoholic drink.
Appropriate.
I'm loving this one.
Nope. There we go.
Unsweet Texas tea. I think it said, I don't know, something by H-E-B.
But they have tea that's a drink, right?
Hard tea, right? Is that what it's called?
Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, I sort of thought this was a Texas tea with alcohol.
I wonder what's in the Long Island tea. Like what?
It's a lot of alcohol.
Doesn't it have different ones?
Yeah.
They said it tastes just like tea, and you don't know until you stand up.
That's a lot.
No lie.
Super sweet.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
This is good. I like this drink.
Okay.
Thank Me you. Too.
When's that right. refreshing?
So we will play a video real quick.
That's good.
Right after Chris Benoit, our case, was
right.
dead.
I can't believe it's been 2:07.
Good evening. Tonight, this arena here in Corpus Christi, Texas, was to have been filled to capacity with enthusiastic WWE fans. Tonight's storyline was to have been the alleged demise of my character, Mr. McMahon. However, in reality, WWE superstar Chris Benoit, his wife Nancy, and their son Daniel are dead. Their bodies were discovered this afternoon in their new suburban Atlanta home. The authorities are undergoing an investigation. We here in the WWE can only offer our condolences to the extended family of Chris Benoit. And the only other thing we can do at this moment is tonight pay tribute to Chris Benoit. We'll offer you some of the most memorable moments in Chris's professional life. And you'll hear tonight comments from his peers, those here, his fellow performers, those here who loved Chris and admired him so much. So tonight will be a 3-hour tribute to one of the greatest WWE superstars of all time. Tonight will be a tribute to Chris Benoit.
We watched that. It's sad.
Yeah, and that was before they knew what Chris had done.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, oh my gosh.
And it was this afternoon they found out. So he said this afternoon, so they probably didn't
know
say
yet.
Or didn't know.
So here is a picture of him at the height of his career. And it's one of the most tragic and shocking cases in the professional wrestling history. He was a celebrated professional wrestler. He was renowned for his technical prowess and dedication to his sport. But in June of 2007, his name became infamous for an unimaginable crime. Over a three-day period, he murdered his wife, Nancy, their seven-year-old son, Daniel, and then he took his own life. So this case sent shockwaves through the wrestling community and beyond, and it also raised questions on mental health, steroid use, and domestic violence. And that's what I'm most looking forward to discussing with you guys. I think I told you, Elena, I was really curious about y'all's thoughts when it comes to the steroid use, and then, of course, the CTE, the
scans,
the brain damage from sports like this, boxing,
football,
etc. So, Chris, let me see. This is him wrestling. He was born May 21st in 67 in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. He began wrestling in the 80s, and he quickly made a name for himself in various wrestling promotions worldwide, including Japan, WCW, and eventually WWE. Now, who watched wrestling?
I did.
I could
not. Von Erichs. Oh, glow. Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Miss Every Elizabeth. Weekend. I only watched it when he would.
Yeah. My step-grandfather loved it. I mean, he watched it all, and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. I mean, I would just, you know, and the biggest controversy was it fake or not? Like, that was the, you know, it ain't fake. Don't you see that blood? I'm like, blood, that is fake as hell.
It is. And then you look, is there contact?
They now think of it as choreographing because of what they have to do.
Yeah.
And how they're trained for that.
However, with Chris, he actually would allow himself to get hit and get hurt.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think we get into sadistic. That. He was known as the Rabid Wolverine and the Crippler. And he was celebrated for his intense and highly skilled in-ring style, which some called brutal. But it gave him an edge and it made him stand out. And the reason they think he was like that is he was shorter than a lot of wrestlers. So he was under 6 feet tall. And you can tell, like when you look at his photo with his belt, he's definitely small. And I think I get into the head injuries and stuff he had later on in the episode. But in the late 1990s, Benoit met Nancy Toffoloni. She was a wrestling manager and valet known as Woman.
Woman, yep.
Woman.
Woman and Miss Elizabeth.
At the time, she was married to Kevin Sullivan. He was a wrestler who was several years older than her. Sullivan, quote, booked a wrestling angle with Benoit where, because, you know, they got the whole theme thing like he was talking about, right? Where Benoit started an affair with Nancy. And, you know, and I'm not much into wrestling. I mean, that would be like zero. So, but it does seem like you've got the villain. You've got the hero. Yep. Maybe the damsel in distress that then throws chairs on people and stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, it just seems
like
there's...
I didn't know about the damsel in distress.
That or some female is involved somewhere. I don't know.
It was 80s. I don't know.
Okay.
Right. But you definitely have the good and the bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was going to be the storyline. You've got, you know, Benoit trying to steal Woman away from Kevin Sullivan. However, the story became very real.
Uh-oh.
When they actually did have an affair and they both divorced their spouses. So then the two married in 2000, and they had a son named Daniel. He's a cute little kid, too. And in 2003, okay, so that was in 2003. Then Nancy left wrestling, and Chris continued his career, winning a third world title in WCW, and then he left for WWE in 2000. So is WWE it's like the Cadillac of
fake wrestling.
Kids,
then, and I have heard of this WrestleMania.
So it's a big thing still,
and I'm wondering if that's his title right there, because he won world title in WrestleMania 20.
It says it on there, but I can't
either, because he won other competitions. But that to me looks like it would probably be a WWE.
Before I let something loose, do you say more about the sun later?
I don't know. What are you going to say about the sun?
If I remember the sun, it had special needs.
I am going to talk about that.
Okay.
That's an interesting little angle there. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Your camera's on.
Oh. All right. So he won that, and then he had 22 championships under his belt and lots of loyal fans. Okay. So he's a big deal, I guess. From the outside, they appeared like they were a happy family. Chris was enjoying fame and a great career, but beneath the surface, there were signs of trouble. And I just need to make sure that I can see our little things going by there. Make sure we are recording. Okay. I want to now dive into incidents of strange behavior and violence. Okay. Nancy filed for divorce in 2003, citing cruel treatment and fear for her safety. She also got a restraining order against Chris, but then later she withdrew the divorce. Is that common?
I think so.
Yes. Okay. Because I've heard of like women that they won't leave, but I've never, like, I've not heard of one where they actually file for divorce and then withdraw it an abusive relationship.
What
usually they don't even get that far.
I don't know. I've heard of a lot of people doing that because they promise them that it'll get better. They go to counseling.
But with abusers?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if common is the right
but it happens.
Word. Yeah.
But that happens.
Because
of
the rate of divorce filings.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So I really wonder what the cruel treatment was. Like, was he physically abusive or was he the non-physical?
Yeah, maybe verbally, I would imagine.
I immediately thought of some of his wrestling moves.
Yeah, she was a wrestler.
Yeah,
so
she was.
He may have, just thought, I mean, I'm not trying to excuse, but I wonder if he thought, well, she can handle herself because she's a wrestler, Again, not saying it was right,
I don't know. I think if you're abusing someone, I don't think they really think like that.
That's true.
They're just going to do it.
You got experience?
Yes.
In the past.
Stops would tell
younger.
Us that you do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he even told hospital personnel.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
You know how embarrassing that was? God, giving me pamphlets. I'm like, what is going on here? I could have killed him.
Oh, see?
Now it's on record.
Anything
happens, we know.
Yeah.
So friends and colleagues reported that they did have a tumultuous relationship. They had arguments and domestic violence. So there had to have been some type of physical contact. They said that when they look back at the strange is interesting, and the violent behavior, they seem like warning signs. And I'm really curious, like, what was strange? Because to me, they're going to witness domestic violence, right? And they're going to be like, man, that's not cool. But the strange behavior is, to me, outside of domestic violence. Yeah. So was there, like, paranoia? Was there
maybe unusual abuses or passive-aggressives?
Even outside the marriage, maybe?
What do you mean?
Like with colleagues, friends?
No, I was thinking with them. Like not the normal domestic abuse, what you hear about. The physical, the fighting, the throwing. It was probably weird, unusual things you don't hear about.
Yeah.
And when you get into why, the reason why a lot of people do act strange to everyone around them.
Mm.
Why he did what he did. The reason of why he behaved and did what he did. When people take different things.
I don't think it was the steroids personally.
Oh.
But see, that's why we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, but maybe that's he was acting strange.
Yeah, I think it was definitely outside the marriage.
Part of it, yeah.
And, he was acting weird, but they just didn't. Like connect, he was going to end up murdering everybody.
Too.
Yeah. Now, one incident involved Nancy's call to the police in 2003, where she reported that he had threatened her. He had been violent. She described Chris as a controlling and abusive partner. Again, despite her claims, the divorce was eventually called off. The couple reconciled, but it didn't put an end to their troubles. I don't know why she stayed, quite frankly. And I wish I could find out more details. There's not a lot of details on this case. But I will say that we have seen, you know, partner homicide with no violence. And the fact that there was a history of violence tells me that what happened was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time. Yeah. And unfortunately, he was a typical abusive partner. And Nancy had no idea of the danger that was coming. So now, so that was all in 2003. Now fast forward to June 22nd, 2007. Chris Benoit missed a scheduled WWE event in Texas, citing a family emergency. He sent several cryptic text messages to friends and colleagues, which raised concerns, but they didn't immediately, like, they weren't, like, jump into action because it didn't raise, you know, to the level of, oh, something's going on. One text was sent to his friend Chavo Guerrero, and it says, quote, "The dogs are in the enclosed pool area and the back door is open along with his address." So what would y'all think? Like, if you got a text like that from me, what would you think?
I'd call the police to do a welfare check.
I'm not sure I would. I would think that maybe they meant to send it to a different person. Yeah.
Oh, not me. If the dogs are locked up, the back's open.
Well, I would definitely say, did you mean this for me? And then if there was no response, I would just assume he did. I mean, it was sent by accident. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would have taken that as a danger sign. And he didn't either. And then he also received a voicemail message. Now, this is taking it a little bit further. From his cell phone, June 23rd, stating that, oh no, I wouldn't have been suspicious yet. So he said that he overslept and he missed his flight and he'd be late for his house show in Beaumont, Texas. Chavo called Chris back and said that he sounded tired and groggy, which concerned him. He called back 12 minutes later. Chris didn't answer. He left a message. At 3:44, Chris called him back saying that he was changing his flight and that he'd had a stressful day because Nancy and Daniel had food poisoning. On Sunday, June 24th, five text messages were sent to co-workers using both Chris and Nancy's cell phone with his home address and the one about the dogs that he'd already sent to Chavo. What no one knew was that Nancy was already dead. So now he's using both phones to tell people about the dogs. But again, like the people he sends it to, they're not in the same room. How would they know, unless he used a group text, that everybody's getting this text? So like if there was a group text, and especially if it included Chavo again, of, hey, the dogs are here, here's our address. Now I'm going to be like, okay, something's weird. I'm either going to call someone to go over, or I'm going to go ahead and call the cops to do a welfare check. But if he didn't send this message to everybody in the group, I have no idea he's sending it out to everybody.
Right. But, you know, even though y'all say no, you wouldn't, but doesn't it depend on how well you know the person and that's sending it? Because if one of y'all sent me a message like that, for sure, welfare check. For sure.
Well, I would know the address. Again, I mean, if Elena said, hey, the dogs are in the back, and the whatever address is open.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she wouldn't send me her address because I know it. But if she was to send me that, again, I mean, just what, last week, you sent me a text that was supposed to go to somebody else, and I'm like, what?
But he, something was wrong with him, so he puts the address. So I'm just saying if something was wrong with y'all or...
But we don't know. Like, he didn't know anything was wrong.
I would know right away.
Yeah. If it was unusual.
Unusual. Hmm. Yeah. When you know someone.
Nah,
because
if I
sent y'all a text and said, hey, dogs are locked up.
Yeah.
Here's my address. Back door's unlocked.
But again, I wouldn't send Elena or you my address because y'all would know it.
Well, I know, but you would be in the right frame of mind. But if you weren't, like he wasn't.
Yeah, I think if you added the address, definitely. Yeah. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Address? Yeah, the address would definitely be something a little bit weird. I would want to do a phone call,
yeah,
maybe a welfare check. But if it was minus address, I probably wouldn't think anything of it. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I don't know. Did Chavo know where he lived? I mean, like the guy said at the beginning, he had just moved into their dream home in Georgia, so they probably didn't have their new address. So again, I don't think it'd raise alarms with
who
me.
Who knows, yeah.
But it does seem that Chavo was concerned, though.
Yeah.
Like, there was some definite concern because he's missing his events and groggy.
Because what I'm thinking is, I'm wondering if they already had concerns even before this, if he was acting unusual.
And they did mention the strange behavior.
They did.
Yeah, so.
Now, I'm going to play this recording because I think this is the voice message he left after he had killed his family.
It was a weird message.
Well, there was something that happened with his friend and production and all that. But his words were slurred. Did you notice that?
Yeah, uh-huh. I couldn't even understand most of the first part.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't find anything that would help us understand what he was saying either. But yeah, he definitely sounded that he was on something. So here's the timeline, okay? On Friday, June 22nd. So let's go back. So I think all the phone calls and text messages were June 23rd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it looks like. So on June 23rd, people are starting to get these, hey, the dogs are in the back, blah, 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 is open. On Friday, the day before, on June 22nd, 2007, Nancy Benoit was murdered in the upstairs office. According to the autopsy, she died of asphyxiation. Her body was found bound at the feet and wrists and wrapped in a towel. Injuries indicate that Benoit might have pressed a knee in her back while pulling the cord around her neck. There was a small amount of blood indicating she may have fought back some, and a Bible was placed next to her body.
Wow.
On Saturday, June 23rd, Chris killed his son, Daniel, in his bedroom. He died of asphyxiation as well. His body was in his bed, and a Bible was placed next to him. He had also been sedated with Xanax and was probably unconscious when he was killed. And then on Sunday, June 24th, he took his own life. He used a weight machine cord to hang himself and his home gym. His body was found hanging by a pulley cable, which was wrapped around his neck.
Wow. So the Xanax, if he, like, that would explain the voice message if he was on that.
Yep.
And or,
well, the son was drugged.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah.
I think probably just to get through it all and to, you know, basically murder his family, he probably had to sedate himself.
Because it was over 3 days, so. Yeah.
So he killed his wife first, then the next day his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a mystery to me.
Horrible.
Why did he string it out over 3 days? Do y'all, like, any thoughts? I mean, I know it's probably hard to think how he was thinking at the time.
Well, I'm wondering, and the little boy was there the whole time. He didn't
sounds
just come
like
home.
It. Yeah. Okay.
My only thought is that wasn't the plan, and maybe he struggled with that. But yeah. Also, it's torture as well.
So
he
you're
would
thinking
have to know.
That maybe he was like, okay, I'll kill the wife.
Yeah.
But then, well, what are you gonna, I mean, you're going to be arrested.
Maybe he wanted to think of a solution or.
Yeah, or he just couldn't make himself do it or wanted to spend one more night with them.
Maybe. I just don't, yeah, I guess. But I just don't understand. I'm more curious about the other part of it where the mom is dead. Was the child not allowed to go into the office? Did he know the whole time? That's torture.
I don't know if the kid knew.
Right.
But to me, it would be torturous to Benoit. You know, like you just killed your wife and you're thinking, I'm going to have to kill my son. Mm. And the Bible thing. So this is like a religious deal too. It reminds me of John List where, you know, he killed his entire family and he had that religious deal where he was afraid they were going to go to hell. Mm. So he killed them all, which I think is crap. I think it's because he was having financial problems and his wife was a nightmare. But it almost seems like there's a little bit of a religiosity, like a paranoia and religious feel to this crime.
If you look further, I think if I remember, sometimes I remember, but I think she was religious.
Okay.
Not overly religious, but religious.
So maybe that's...
You'd have to look and see if you could find it.
I didn't see that anywhere, but yeah, that would make sense. That maybe, there, you know, he would know she would want... Like, so even though... Okay, so this is obviously not love, murdering your wife and kid. But in his twisted thinking, you know, I'll leave the Bible because that's what she would want.
Yeah.
It's a weird deal. I don't understand the 3 days. That's what... is weird to me. And
I think he probably kept hesitating and didn't know what to do or how to cover it up and killing your son.
And he definitely wasn't thinking clearly because he kept missing appointments. And of course, you know, when you're killing off your family, I'm sure it's hard to keep your appointments.
And he had a lot of things issue that was, you know, proving what some was going on. So maybe he just wasn't thinking.
So the investigation, of course, you know, began almost immediately. The Fayette County Sheriff's Office and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation were involved. They treated the scene as a homicide investigation before concluding that it was a double murder-suicide. Toxicology reports showed that Chris Benoit had Xanax, hydrocodone, and an elevated level of testosterone in his system at the time of his death. The elevated testosterone is believed to be a result of therapeutic use related to past anabolic steroid abuse.
Dang.
So he was not on it at the time, but his body was still with that high.
I'm curious what their version of elevated is, though.
I am, too. And I do know high levels of testosterone will make you more aggressive and angry.
Yep.
So definitely would be short-tempered. The discovery of anabolic steroids at the crime scene led to speculation about, I'm going to try to say this, roid rage. Very good. As a potential factor. However, experts argued that the timeline of events did not fit the profile of a sudden rage-induced killing spree.
Yeah.
And I agree 100%.
Right.
The murders appeared to be premeditated, not to mention carried out over 3 days. So this is not blind roid rage. It's a mechanical or mechanical. Good grief. Methodical.
You nailed the other.
I know. Then I got all happy and messed up at me. Anything after that. So they said instead it was a methodical annihilation of his family and himself. A suicide note was not found during the initial investigation, but this is interesting. I'd love y'all's thoughts. It was included in his possessions that were sent to his first wife and tucked into a Bible. He had written a handwritten notation in the Bible saying, I'm preparing to leave this earth.
For his ex-wife?
His first wife.
Well, did they have kids?
I don't know.
I wonder if there was some regret there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they had a child.
I don't remember reading of any child.
I don't think so either.
But I thought of that maybe he regretted, you know, going out on her and leaving and ruining that relationship. Or I could also see it being like a form of passive aggressive behavior or feel sorry for me type of behavior. But I definitely tend toward the regret as well.
And it's also in line with him leaving the Bibles beside his family, yeah, too. I think there was some regret there, even with the Bibles being placed by him.
Or they married young and maybe he really trusted her.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that could be.
Could. Now, what this told detectives, though, is that he'd been planning it for a while. So it's not like it was a spur of the moment. So, again, it was very methodical. Because if it was spur of the moment, you know, like, I don't know if he had to purchase these Bibles. Did he have to write his note out, put it in his possessions? Did he have to indicate what possessions go to his first wife, what goes to parents or whatever? Like, there was a level of planning in this. So, again, for them, that eliminates the steroid use because it wasn't a spur of the moment. So they're thinking if it was that, he would have just bam, 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 and then bam. You know what I mean?
Maybe you'll talk more about this, but, I mean, most people, I think, that have Bibles usually have multiple Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting more common, but if he was only thinking of killing himself, that makes sense to me with the Bible and the note. Like, what is the proof that he, that note, that Bible was for a premeditation to kill his family, and that the three Bibles was proof for premeditation?
Well, I think either they have receipts that show that these things were purchased, or the fact that he did it over 3 days is a definite sign of premeditation. And then the fact that he wrote the note, put it in the Bible to send to her is a sign of premeditation. Because, again, you're in a planning stage. So you're thinking of all the details you need to take care of.
I wonder if he put it in an envelope.
I don't know.
With her name on. And I wonder if there was a Bible by his body.
I don't know. That's a good question. And again, it was hard to get facts on this one. I mean, I really had to scrape the bottom of the barrel just trying to get a little bit. Because, you know, most of it's just from news reports and stuff. And I would love to interview people on this. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that Nancy might have suspected Chris was having an affair with WWE diva.
Mm-hmm.
And that they may have argued over a life insurance policy. AJC claimed their source was a recently released report from the Fayette County Sheriff's Office, but I've not been able to confirm if he was having an affair or not. Maybe, but that doesn't seem to fit this.
Mm-mm.
But I guess so.
Well, they had an affair.
Who is they? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Woman and...
Yeah.
Him. And him.
Woman.
Yeah, but I think the reason I was like, I don't know, because I agree. I think he was planning this for a while, and he seemed to have like a sentimental thing going on. He drugs his son, so it's not as bad for him. He leaves the Bibles next to the bodies, you know, sends the note. Like, a lot of people that are very controlling, they don't write suicide notes. They don't do that. Because they want you to be left with questions. Mm-hmm. It's a passive-aggressive move. For him, he wrote a note and sent it. Like you said, it might be someone he trusted.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just doesn't seem to fit that he would have had a girlfriend and he annihilated his family. And I could see himself. Him. Yeah, I could see him killing his family and then him living like Chris the poop bird Watts.
And besides that, I would think they would find proof.
Yeah.
When you have an affair, you can...
Yeah. And maybe he was. I don't know. It just didn't seem to fit.
And what's interesting is they had fought about a life insurance policy. That's an interesting thing to fight about.
Exactly. Like, why would you fight over a life insurance policy? And not only that, you're going to kill everybody anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, again, I couldn't confirm, and I'm thinking maybe it's the rumor mill, but I'm not sure.
Maybe,
But I included it, though, because the source... they say, was a release report from the Fayette County Sheriff's Office. Like, normally when I come across stuff like this, I don't even include it because I can't find any proof to back up what's said. But this one was from supposedly the county sheriff's office, but I couldn't confirm any of the details.
So does that mean, well, I mean, why was it a report? Was it one of a domestic calls again, or was it just after the investigation?
I think part of the investigation.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, that's pretty much the case. I want to shift gears and get into the CTE and steroid use. So one of the significant things that caused a firestorm after this, so like I said, that video that we played at the beginning, they didn't know at that time that he murdered his entire family and then himself. So they're thinking someone went into the home and killed them, and they want to, you know, play a tribute. And then later, when they found out what he did, they removed mm-hmm. him from everything.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
And so one of the significant findings on the case was the severe brain damage Benoit had sustained over his career. So he was one of the few wrestlers who allowed himself to be hit on the head with steel chairs. Mm-hmm. After his death, his brain was examined by Dr. Bennett Omalu and Julian Bells of Sports Legacy Institute. The investigation revealed that Benoit had extensive brain damage consistent with CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Look, guys, did you hear how that just rolled off my tongue?
Now let's hope you keep it together on the next couple of words. Is a
the damage was so severe that it was comparable to that seen in elderly patients with advanced Alzheimer's disease. Okay, so I'm probably going to differ from both of you guys because I despise when people use medical conditions as an excuse for the murder. I don't like it.
Is it an excuse or explanation?
Well, first of all, so here's what I would say. So it may be true that he had severe brain damage. I do agree with that. But he was not acting like someone with Alzheimer's. Everyone said that. He wasn't forgetful. He wasn't able to not form words. He was still wrestling. He was still handling his business until right before he killed his kids. If you have severe Alzheimer's, of which we have experience, you're not walking around handling your business. You're like a kid, and you even forget who the people are around you. You have a rough, your gait is different, like how you walk. That was one of the first things I noticed with my mother-in-law. And the memory and just literally turning in circles and me having a stopper was a sign. So he did not display that. Everyone they interviewed were like, no, he wasn't acting like he had Alzheimer's at all from severe brain damage. So that's one problem I have with the assumption it was CTE.
But back then, too, in 2007 when that happened, the extent of the tests they did, who knows? You know what I mean? Maybe he clearly had brain damage. Because when that happened, they had showed some of the scans of his brain. So he had some kind of brain damage. He was acting weird. I don't think he was deliberately... You know, he could still think, you know what, but I do think he did have brain damage.
Oh, I agree that he has brain damage.
And that's why I don't think it was.
But I don't believe it was as advanced Alzheimer's because he planned everything down to sending the text to make sure his dogs are taken care of with his address to people so that when they find their bodies, they know how to take care of the dogs.
But maybe
that's planning that if you have advanced Alzheimer condition from brain injury, you're not going to do that.
No, but if it wasn't advanced.
It was. That's what they said.
They said it was, but even so, they could put one part of your brain can control one area, one can control another.
That's what I was wondering. That's a good point. That's what I was wondering. It's like, okay, what area, if there was just one particular area that was advanced, or was it the whole brain?
And where he got hit several times, was it in, you know, because I could picture... If he's wrestling and you're in this whole thing, that he'd maybe possibly get hit in one part of the brain over and over. But again, mm-hmm. don't put this BS out there that he had, you know, like he was, it was so bad it was advanced Alzheimer's. We know mm-hmm. that's not how he was acting.
Yeah,
and that made people really upset.
Yeah,
I do too.
Because it just, I mean, he lied about his wife. He said that they were sick. He said that he missed his plane.
Yeah.
All of these things show a mind that is, like, he's able to think.
I'd have to see and have it explain which parts of the mind.
Then they, so for people that don't know, which I'm sure most do, but CTE, it's a progressive degenerative disease found in individuals with a history of repetitive brain trauma, mm-hmm. and concussions is a big deal. And then asymptomatic. So that's where you have a concussion, but you don't know it. Who was a football player? It was a big deal. It came
Aaron
up again.
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. We watched that series. Was it like a four-part, I think, series?
I watched that.
Yeah, me and you had discussions. Not together, but we watched it separately. And I remember when I was putting together a piece of furniture, me and you were talking about the crimes he committed and the brain injuries. And the series was very sympathetic to him, mm-hmm. and that's, and gosh, this was years ago. I think is when we first moved into the house. And at the time I'm like, you know, okay, I could see that's what caused him to, you know, to kill people. And then later I'm like, no, because when I watched other things, he was already a little punk.
Mm-hmm.
He was already violent. He was already entitled. He was already impatient before he ever received a single injury.
Well, he can be like that, but even with the brain damage, it could make it a lot worse.
It's
just like, typically men with dementia.
But he already shot a person in a bar before he was even hit in the head. So that's where I'm like, nah, y'all made it seem like every bad thing he did was because of CTE. And a lot of his crimes were before he ever had any brain injuries. So that's why I get mad. I don't like when people do that.
Some of it and most of it was after he started his football career. It started from high school. He did it through in high school.
Yeah, he had some, I think like one concussion or two concussion in high school. But no, the first shooting was before he had any major hits to his head. And then after is when things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying it can't be a factor, though.
Because any hit is bad. To the head.
Yeah, I think that it does mess with impulse control. I think it does mess with emotions that you can definitely have like heightened anger yeah. mm-hmm. and impatience, but it's not the reason they killed.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
And that's where I get upset. Yeah. It's like mm-hmm. they're trying to excuse them because yeah. they had brain injuries.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
But there are brain injuries that do cause bad behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Maybe.
She's not going to go 1 inch.
It also can cause a buildup of an abnormal protein called TAU. And I'm wondering if that's the same protein they're finding in Alzheimer's patients. So with Alzheimer's patients, you know, there's like literal holes. And I think that's what's happening with CTE. And then the nerve, you know, networks get this protein wrapped around them. So then the synapses, the thoughts, everything, it's now encased in this protein. And that's why they don't have, like, their memories shut down, their ability to talk shuts down, like, all of that stuff. Because now it's almost like a rubber, like a piece of rubber on something electrical. It can't arc anymore. And so they're seeing that with CTE. They say symptoms are memory loss, confusion, impaired judgment, impulse control problems, aggression, depression, suicidal tendency, Parkinson's, and eventually progressive dementia. So what if he knew something was wrong with his brain and he decided to take his family and himself out before it got worse? I did think about that.
I don't know.
I don't know if there's any proof of that.
In this case, who knows even what he was thinking,
mm-hmm.
right?
I think we definitely have the domestic violence and we have the divorce proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Robin Williams had that disease that he had no interest, and that's why he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought, well, but of course he didn't kill his family.
That's what, yeah. If he knew, it'd probably just be himself.
Maybe he killed the son because she took care of him because of the special needs.
That's actually a myth. We'll get into that. I was surprised.
Well, no.
Yep,
that
it
was
is.
On the news. I'm not sure.
Just because it's on the news doesn't mean it's true.
I know, but
that was very surprising. And again, we'll get into it. Nope, he wasn't. So the presence of CT in his brain suggested his cognitive and emotional functioning had been significantly impaired, potentially contributing to the fact, you know, the violent behavior. This finding shifted the focus away from steroid use and toward the long-term effects of repeated head injuries. Okay, so the steroids, again, they're like, yeah, he had elevated, you know, testosterone, but he wasn't currently taking steroids, so they ruled that out. It wasn't a rage incident. Well, the CTA may have been a factor.
I thought you said they found
steroids. Yeah, but he didn't have any in his system. It had been from past use, not current. So then they were like, okay, let's look at the broader context of his personal life, his mental health. So friends and colleagues described him as a devoted father who was deeply affected by the death of his best friend and fellow wrestler, Eddie Guerrero, in 2005. Do you know how he died? Eddie Guerrero? Was it like maybe a car accident?
Steven would know.
Okay. His grief combined with physical and mental toll of his wrestling career may have created a perfect storm of psychological distress. In the years leading up to the tragedy, so this is like years, there were numerous reports of incidents of Benoit exhibiting strange and erratic behavior. He became increasingly withdrawn and obsessed with his wrestling career, often isolating himself from friends and family.
You said years earlier?
Yeah. So this was years of it. So maybe that's where the strange behavior comes in.
Uh-huh.
His intense training regimen and use of painkillers to manage chronic injuries also probably exacerbated his health concerns. But I just want people to understand he was an abuser. He was a violent man who abused his wife. And he was, and I think that was probably aggravated by everything. Did you find something?
Guerrero. Died of a heart failure due to underlying
atherosclerosis or arteriosclerosis. It's a hardening of the arteries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cardiovascular disease. He was 38.
Wow.
Had a big fam. They had a big deal on a wrestling match about him before. Afterward.
Okay, so I don't have it in my notes. Let me try to remember. It's in my research. So at first, when I was researching Chris, and I'll try to find it and get it to you, or I can share my research notes. But everybody was saying there was added stress. Oh, this is why I didn't include it. Everyone was saying that there was added stress because his son had some type of either physical or mental disorder. Since the reports, they found that is not true. That he did not have any health problems whatsoever, and it was a false report that went out. And so that's why I did not include that as an issue, because his son didn't have any problems. He seemed extremely healthy. He was a happy little boy. And there was like a name of what they thought he had, and then the autopsy showed he didn't have it. Everybody's like, no, he's fine. He never exhibited anything. So I don't know where that came from. And it almost makes me wonder, did Chris say that? You know, like, where did it come from that this little kid had a disease when he didn't?
Well, I know it was going around when she quit wrestling and had the son.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, did other wrestlers think that, you know, did she say she was worried he might have something? Then it was never cleared up. But yeah, that I have it in my research, but I didn't include it because it was later. So, I mean, we might be in more agreement than I think, because it seems like we agree that his brain injuries did not cause him to murder, but it may have removed the ability to make sound decisions. But again, he planned very methodically.
I still don't get the planning piece.
And I don't get, what do you mean? I mean, he did over 3 days. He put the Bibles next to their bodies. He prepared a suicide note. All of that's planning.
That could be stress or
that's
what he did. And
the moment to me, like I would like to know prior to him murdering his wife, what did he plan?
I take planning as writing notes and not weird behavior like he did. Like, planning.
I
don't know how to.
Is like setting things up, doing those test runs, setting things up, getting prepared.
Yeah, I could see that. I think probably where I say planning is if you go by the CTE and he supposedly was like advanced Alzheimer's, then you have the steroids where they were trying to blame that, which it caused a huge fuss in the wrestling industry. They're like, nope. There's other people that have head injuries. There's other people have taken steroids and they don't murder themselves and their families, or commit suicide. But I think the planning is in the context of that he had enough possession of his faculties to think how he wanted to kill his wife. It wasn't a rage thing where he just starts choking her to death. He used materials to murder her. He bound her. You know, he has enough, mental capacity to put the Bible next to her body. He then waits 24 hours or a little bit under to murder his son. He has the capacity to think, okay, I don't want him to suffer, or I'm a coward and I don't want to see him watching me kill him, so I'm going to put drugs in his system. You know what I mean?
Like, gotcha.
That's where the planning comes in. So again, I just can't agree that it had anything to do with CTE, except that possibly if he didn't have the head injuries, he may not have done that. But I don't see how there's even proof of that.
I think he did have head injuries, and I think
different he had head
parts
injuries,
of his brain. We don't know which ones. I don't remember any of that. But I think you can come to a point of rage and then a clarity, of what he did and put the Bible there. That's, to me, a piece of feeling, bad. But, I think I think the injuries of his brain had something to do with it. Maybe not all, but I think something.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the only thing I could say is maybe a diminished capacity. Mm-hmm. But again, he was so methodical and everything. That's hard for me to take. But I do think that where the brain injuries were could play a factor.
Yeah.
For sure. Was it in the part of the brain where he would be more suicidal? Depressed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and was CTE even known as a thing, like a big deal back then? I know it is now. Muhammad Ali died from it. And so he was a pretty big deal because he got Parkinson's and all that from it.
I never heard of it until, Hernandez, but before that, the boxer. Muhammad Ali. Then it started coming out more and more.
And then like Rocky 50, whichever one that was, they had that in there.
460. Yeah.
Yeah. So his case is a grim reminder of the potential consequences of untreated mental health issues, substance abuse, and domestic violence. It's crucial for those in similar situations to seek help and for friends and family to recognize warning signs and to intervene. So again, I just want to give out the number. If you or you know anyone who is struggling with domestic violence or mental health and substance abuse issues, here are two numbers. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 7233 for those of you that you're like, blah, blah, blah. Or the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which I love how they say that, Lifeline, 1-800-273-TALK, which for, again, those of you that you're like, wait, letters, 8255. So after this, the wrestling industry took steps to address some of the issues that were highlighted by this case. They implemented its wellness policy in the WWE, which includes regular drug testing, concussion protocols, and then supports for wrestlers dealing with substance abuse and mental health issues. I can imagine getting on like painkillers because it's very strenuous. They get injuries. And then also the case brought much needed attention to the long-term effects of concussions and head trauma and contact sports. Research into CTE has expanded, leading to increased awareness and efforts to protect athletes.
After that happened, they started having other wrestlers that did brain scans and showed they had.
Yeah. I tried to find the numbers. I was really curious how many sports people that use steroids are violent. Like, I was trying to find, okay, is there an increased risk of domestic violence, blah, blah, fist fights, you know, different things. I've heard of it. But I couldn't find any statistics. The only thing I could find was that it was a very small amount. But what does that mean? Are we talking 10%, 5%, 1%, less than 25%?
That's one reason I think they outlawed that in a lot of places, steroids, because it's anger. Mm-hmm. It makes you
well, and then, also gives you an unfair advantage.
Yeah. I also try to find similar statistics for CTE and suicide, domestic violence, anything like that. I couldn't find anything that let me know. So if anybody, you know, in the show notes, you can contact us, outlineofamurder.com. We've got a way to reach us. I'm really curious what the numbers are.
I'd like to see some comments on what people think, especially about this case.
Me too, because I think there's probably people that are like me, that are like, that's BS, you know.
Or they may know someone that's had.
Or they've watched someone deteriorate in their mental health and realize, wow, this is more dangerous than people think.
Yep. I was listening to a case exactly like that last week, and there was a head injury, and almost immediately they were not the same. Mm-hmm. And the parents knew there's something going on here. It was not the same.
My dad actually brought that up, because when he was 2 or 3, you know, the suicide doors on vehicles where they open different from ours. And it was a dirt road, you know, with the rocks and everything. And he opened the door and fell out and just landed on his head. And grandma says that he was never the same after that. He remembers the event, which is crazy. And they didn't know if he was going to make it. I didn't know it was that serious. And I'm trying to remember that he said he knew his, like, that his brain was different. He could feel it, as a teenager, as an adult. But I don't know what that meant. Like, you know, were you
more angry or calmer?
Were you impatient after and easily frustrated or detached? Did you feel emotionally detached? I don't know.
He said if I fell on my head, he wouldn't know the difference, because I act like the same all the time. So he wouldn't know if something's wrong with me. That's horrible. Keep an eye on me, girls.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're laughing pretty hard here.
It's true, isn't it?
That's funny. Especially when you do the crackhead thing.
I've gotten better with it.
Yes, you're doing very good.
Thank you.
Yes. Yep. All right. Hey, look, you know what?
Be smart.
I'll be neat. I wanted to get it out.
Speaking of.
Be rude.
Don't be a victim. Outline of a Murder is a Mr. Joseph production. What do you think, Joseph?